Hey everybody, I'm Bobby Salveson.
And I'm Michael Monaco, and together we are the Hazmat Guys, connecting the Hazmat community near and far with knowledge, insight, and real-world examples in an effort to make your job just a little bit easier and safer.
Now, let's take a minute to hear from today's sponsors. Hey, Mike, pop quiz. What is the standard go-to method for emergency decon?
That's pretty easy. Wet decon, right?
Well, you know, you're not the only one that may be thinking that, but it's actually dry decon.
No. How many times have I heard dilution is the solution to pollution?
Actually, too many. And that's the issue. Makes sense if you think about it. Without the use of water, we don't need to spend extra time setting up traditional showers or pools, and there's no wastewater afterwards. And you're not going to freeze anybody to death if it's below 60 degrees.
Check out firstlinetech.com/drydecon. Firstline Technology has a whole webpage dedicated to the methodology and links to plenty of dry decon resources. See for yourself why dry decon with FiberTech should be your go-to immediate decon solution.
You know, it's time to rethink your level A protection. Multi-threat suits made of lightweight Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric are part of the most functional non-encapsulated level A ensembles that bring an essential modernization to hazmat PPE. Certified NFPA 1994 Class 1 suits with Gore Chempak Ultra Barrier Fabric offer unencumbered movement, increased range of motion, improved peripheral visibility, excellent dexterity, and reduced heat stress so you can stay engaged longer. You can learn more at GoreTexProfessional.com. Let's get to the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Hazmat Guys. This is episode 343, our Baltimore debriefment for 2022. Oh, you got a confused look.
No, it's 344.
What did I say?
343. Sorry.
I'm an idiot. 343.
11. That's how I remembered it. I was like, oh, it's 9/11.
And, oh, yeah, 3-4. And, yes, Baltimore. And then I want to talk about a run that made it on the news and was talked about on social media, Facebook Hazmat Group 2 posts. And it is, I'm warning you now, it's lithium ion stuff.
That's okay. But, you know, like you said, Baltimore was here and is gone. I think the next one is Virginia, which is September 13th, and then the ever-present Massachusetts, September 20th. But if you want us to mention your local conference, even if we're not speaking, contact Kosh at thehazmatguys.com for more info. And this lets you get here on the show and the newsletter and a couple of other places in addition. And also our shirt locker the FDNY shirt locker at FDNYHazmat1.com. Check it out for all the coolest swag. And the reason why I said that,
yes,
I'm going to do a little PSA.
You're going to tear down one of the walls?
I'm going to tear down one of the walls. is I officially retired from the New York City Fire Department after 2 or 3 months of working there.
A couple tours here and there.
Yeah, just a couple tours. Bittersweet, but by the time you hear this episode, I will be I'll have one week left, I think.
Yes, that's right, because your official last tour, right, is the 20th.
The 20th, June 20th of 2022. So, and my official end date is 6/2/2022.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy to remember now. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm available. I'm available for overtime now.
Available to teach throughout the country.
Anything you want.
Anything you want. So what did you think about, I mean, listen, guys, we're 2 years into COVID. This was the first Baltimore in 2 years. It kind of felt like there was never missed a step. The only thing that I will complain about, and I will complain about forever, and probably broke my heart, was there were no Krabby Patties at Miss Shirley's.
Miss Shirley. If you don't know what the hell we're talking about, Miss Shirley's. Miss Shirley's is a breakfast place that is
down the road a piece, as they say in the
country. 0.8 miles.
0.8 miles from the conference, but it is worth every step. A fantastic place.
It really is, and I've been waiting 2 years for their crab cake egg Benedict, and my heart was destroyed. Totally destroyed. But other than that, I thought the conference was really, really good. I felt like they had new offerings this year. I felt like there was a lot of new stuff on the menu and things that had kept up with the times. There was stuff on batteries. There was stuff on, obviously, we'll be a little bit biased towards, Daryl and Rick with the rapid intervention stuff, although he'll kill me for saying rapid intervention. We'll call it rapid intervention anyway. There was a lot of really good stuff. We did our escape room. Chief, we're going to crash. What were the ones that you did, Bob?
We did Myths 2.0.
How did that go?
I thought it went really well. I'm always disappointed. Like I do when I do a 90-minute show, I really, really, really try to get it like between. I know it's too. It's like ridiculous, but I try to hit like 88 to 90 minutes.
Okay.
Like because I'm a perfectionist. I look at my watch and I'm making sure that I'm delivering the full boat. You know, and if the other guy ran a little long, it gives me. You know, I'm flexible with that. But I ran like 75 minutes. I don't know. It was just weird. The conversation was great, and there was tons of content there. It's just, I don't know. I just didn't hit it on mark. So if you were in that class, I apologize for being a little short. But
well, can you give us one myth that was there one out there that just floored the class? Like where did anything set up an argument? I don't know the answers to these questions. For those of you that don't know my style, I don't ask stuff I'm going to ask on the air, out of the air. Was there anything that was like, it took the audience by surprise? Like, what are you talking about? Like, prove it. Like, no, this is what I was taught. Because I remember the first revision, the first time we ran that we got a few where people were like, no, that's, you're wrong.
You're wrong with that. Was there anything? I have to think about that because there are a bunch of them in there. Specific, you know what was one? About ammonia, about how ammonia, the industry lobbied to have ammonia modified so it was not classified as a flammable gas.
Oh, okay. So that's a myth. Because that's what we've always heard. The farm industry,
that's the draw. Now you have to come to the class and listen.
I hate you.
I know. But it's an interesting one because there's more to the story than just what is taught about that specific thing. So it's a lot of the times it's like, oh, you know, the best rumor is one that's partially true.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, I can see that there's a bridge to gap this thing, but I can see the bridge. That could be true.
Plus, you kind of wrap it in with politics and corruption and money and corporate greed. And it's like, I'm all in on this.
Yeah. So that class is awesome. And then I did another one on modernizing your classroom, which was a whole class on how to basically do what we're doing, like literally what we're doing right this second, recording the show
and do it.
I show them how to do it so that they can take their classroom and do whiteboards and screen shares and anything. That was well attended. And actually right after the class was over, we got a couple offers to do a 4-hour delivery of this, at different conferences and shows. So yeah. I think it was really positive. I honestly thought the kudos to the Baltimore board. I was a little bit worried, but they did pull it off very nicely.
It did. It was, I have to say, it was almost seamless as far as like no time had passed at all.
And I will give kudos to both Jay-Z and Daryl.
Yes.
For winning a major award. Yes. And also Bob Kosh.
Yes, and Kosh too.
No, Kosh won the level A. I think Jay-Z and Daryl won the local one, which is like the Jewel. I don't remember what the name of it was. It was something like that. It was a guy's name. I'm not familiar with the guy. But kudos. Very nice to Joe.
Yep. So we are happy for our friends that are out there and they're winning awards. And boy, Kosh almost cried.
Yeah, got a little bit clumped.
A little flip clumped. That was good. But and then the discussion of today is going to be a run that a fire department had, and we actually have the news broadcast on it.
We do,
and it piped up some discussion online. Of course, through Facebook, my comment ended up going on to the fire department that posted this incident, and I'll tell you my critique and what my thoughts were. Every answer that was like, "Oh, good job," was answered by that fire department. Mine, which was like, which we'll talk about later, went untouched. So I do not think my critique of the event is going to necessarily be welcomed with open arms, but I'm sure those of you that have heard our other episodes can imagine what my suggestion was going to be. So shall we play the news article?
Yeah. Okay. So what we're going to do here is for you that are out there and actually seeing us on the computer, we're playing the video, and I'll do my best to. It is not about two suspects and the assault of a
7-Eleven clerk.
Yeah. So we have the audio off on purpose, but you can read it, and it's in Sacramento, and a Tesla that just would not go out, it says. And what it looks to that they did. Oh, now I see what they did.
Now you see what they did, right? All right. So So this is the rundown that happened from both the article and the thing online. They had this fire. It wouldn't go out. It wouldn't go out. It wouldn't go out. It kept lighting up, which is exactly what we predict is going to happen with these EV cars. You are not going to be able to put them out. It's in a junkyard. Okay, so we can tell it's in a junkyard. One, it was called a junkyard online. And two, when we look at it, there are junkyard cars. It looks like a junkyard. And I have to say that when we look at this, we are within what? There is not another junkyard car within 50 to 100 feet of this thing. So it is just out in the open. Their solution to the problem, although innovative, I will give them that, was to dig a hole, fill the hole with water, and push the car in.
No, that's not what they did. If you look closely at that, they put a berm around it with dirt. Right there. You see it?
Okay.
I'm going to back it up a little bit. You see how it's a berm? They actually had earth put around it, and then they had the hose over the berm.
Okay.
Do you see the yellow hose in the back?
I do see the yellow hose. I thought that was an axe for some reason.
Right here, it does not look like it's underwater. And now here, it is definitely underwater. However, it looks like the rig that's parked behind it is on the same plane as the car.
Yeah.
It looks like they just put dirt around it.
Okay. Online, they described it as digging a hole and filling the hole with water.
Either way.
Yeah. It's pretty ingenious idea. I mean, submerging the battery. So it's definitely something that we have done, not necessarily the Tesla fire, but we see this on a smaller scale with the EV bikes, the EV scooters, all the batteries that do. One of the very first things we did in our building the airplane as we flew process was to take and put these batteries underwater. And for the most part, it will put out the immediate fire if you do that. What are your thoughts on this? If you didn't hear yet, we are transitioning to a new format that is going to give you, the listener, even more content.
Yeah, for example, in our technician and specialist levels, we are adding even more video content, access to our entire show catalog, and even access to a monthly small group Q&A session to answer any questions that come up, as well as so much more.
All of this for less than a cup of coffee that you premium snobs like to drink for the entire month of access.
This is the stuff that you've been asking for. So take a look at what we can do to take you to the next level of Hazmat.
Go to our website, thehazmatguys.com. You can sign up for our premium tiers that will give you even more Hazmat goodness.
You know what? I understand their thought process on it. I just don't think it's the best. First off, this is not going to happen in a junk. Well, it is going to happen in a junkyard.
We actually had last week a junkyard fire with EV batteries, and that's exactly what happened. The crane came in and they were picking up the junk, and it just crushed a couple of the batteries,
and that was it.
That was it. Off to the races.
I mean, in a junkyard, you have the luxury of knowing that, you know, runoff is not really a problem. If you've ever been to a junkyard, you know how much oil and junk is in the ground, and they have the machinery on site to do that.
They do. This is true. They do.
You're not going to be able to do this in a city or, you know, even a suburban area where first off, if I had something happen like that outside my house, good. You can't just hail a front end loader.
No,
bring them in. So I don't know. I mean, even the berming of a car is going to take an awful lot. If anybody's ever dug a hole, that is an incredible amount of effort to dig holes. So making a berm that would actually hold water around it in a deep enough section, like, you know, I would even say, okay, I take my 5-inch hose and I circle the car. Even that as a crappy little berm is not going to hold that much water. It's not going to get over the battery.
No, it's not. It's not. And if you go back, can you go back to the video for a moment and scroll until there's a part where they show kind of like the, you know, everything's dried up and this is the remains of the car.
Oh, yeah.
Right here. All right. So, I mean, this is underwater if we go a little bit further, but you can tell this car is gone. Like, the car is gone. And if you keep in mind everything that Bob was talking about with the length of time it takes to do it, and then you're filling, well, it's got to be probably 1,500 gallons of water, you know, filling it up with a hose line. I'm going to venture to say that it's less they put the fire out and more they did stuff until the batteries burned themselves out.
I see what you're saying. Yes, I could see that. Like, it just basically extinguished itself regardless of what they did.
Right, because by the time this happens, everything's melted, everything's gone, everything that's going to burn is burning, has burnt up. And then the batteries have gone to completion. And my issue with this, right, one, it is against the manufacturer's recommendations. If you look at the Tesla manual, it says do not submerge the vehicle in water, okay? So right. If something were to happen, right, from like that kind of legal incident commander is responsible point of view, you do this and something happens, say someone, I don't know, stray electricity. I'm not quite sure what could happen, why they say don't put it underwater, but the Tesla manual very specifically says not to do this.
Okay.
So what happens if we do something and now something happens? What kind of responsibility lands on that incident commander to be like, oh, wow, I performed an action that was specifically against what the manufacturer said not to do?
You know, you said that, and it kind of reminded me when in EMTs, once you're trained and you do something wrong, you're liable for that. You're culpable.
Yeah, you're liable.
But let's say some civilian that has no idea how to do EMS, you know, sees you get into an accident, sees the movies, cars explode all the time in the movies. So they run over and they grab you and they yank you out of the car and they sever your neck and you never can walk again. You can't sue the civilian because they had, it's called a Good Samaritan law.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to bet even though they're not well-versed on electric vehicles, et cetera, even their whole good faith operation of doing this might not indemnify them from any liability because you are the fire chief, you are the firefighter, you are the officer, and you're supposed to stay current on operations. So that's a really, really valid point.
Yeah, and it I don't know what could happen. Again, I don't know why they say don't submerge the cars, but it's in the Tesla manual, and other manufacturers say the same thing. They say don't submerge these things. So you can see in the very beginning they've got kind of a whole car, and you know, it's in a junkyard. You're not saving any property. You're not doing anything along those lines. This guy's wearing his mask. We've got white smoke coming out. So we've got black smoke, we got white smoke. So we're steaming, we're producing plenty of heat. We've got, you know, combustion of oils, probably the contents of the car that's giving off the black smoke. But we get to a certain point where once we get to the end of this, the whole thing is gone. So how long, what kind of energy did the department put into, quote unquote, putting this thing out when they didn't actually put it out? And what kind of dangers did they put their members in by submerging a vehicle that is not supposed to be submerged by the manufacturer's recommendation? Personally, I gave the suggestion online. I said, listen, and I listed all this out. I was like, you didn't put the fire out. All you did was slow down the reaction and cause it to take a longer time to burn.
Okay.
And that probably the best practice for this would have been to just let it go to completion all on its own. You let that thing roar to completion, and it's going to be out in 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. But that's, and I know we've spoke about it before, is that it's going to be very hard for a fire department to stand there and watch a car fire go without taking action. That's not like in our ethos.
No, it's not. It's totally against everything that we want to do. But this this incident doesn't even have a exposure issue. It doesn't have the life issue. It doesn't have a, well, we had to knock it down to pull it away from something else that was burning type of issue. This would have been the perfect scenario to just non-intervention, let it burn, protect exposures.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see what you're saying. I just don't think. Yeah, I don't think we're there yet as a fire service to bridge that gap. I think it's almost like a pill too bitter to swallow at this point.
It is. It is. And my comments online went totally ignored, skipped over by that fire department. So
yeah, just it's going.
It's going. It's rocking and rolling. And we gotta figure out, we have to figure out, and it's really a nationwide conversation, you know, legitimately, what are we going to do? Because you know, the reality is you dunk this thing in water, the fire goes out. It's not a pool. It's not a pop-up pool. It's going to drain. It's going to evaporate. Mm. It's going to go through the dirt. And what you now think is totally safe, everybody goes home 3 days, 4 days later, this thing reignites. Now, in the middle of a junkyard, that's not really a big deal. But if you're, let's say this thing is being transported on the road from an accident, let's say it is in a parking garage, and, you know, we are assuming that it's out and we walk away from it. I know Tesla has a pretty good thing where they come and they pick these things up, but what, you know, the reality is what are we doing?
Yeah, I think a larger conversation, and it's not just, I've seen a lot of people panicking and you know, getting instruction on battery incidents and stuff like that, but there's not a whole hell of a lot of what do I do?
Right.
Like, what's the playbook right now? Because, yeah, great. I have an understanding of what batteries do, and I understand how the energy is packed. I understand the chemistry and the physics of it. I've seen some pretty cool little demos with where we get the batteries to pop off and everything like that. But, like, at the end of the day, you're presented with this car and it's this fire. What are we doing? And it's and let me tell you, Sack, I do not. I'm not against SAC. I think they did what they thought was right. And it, you know what the thing 100%. Is?
Yeah, let me make that clear. 100%. I am not against their actions. I'm just against the action.
Right. Yeah, no, but like, I don't think anybody's like, even Tesla's book, which we've read that thing on the air, and their whole guidance is like 2 pages, and it's right. I mean, it's really not all that much as far as, if memory serves, it was like 2.5 or 3 pages.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's very small.
The section with the emergencies is only a couple pages. Yeah, the whole booklet itself is only like 20 pages.
Yeah, so like there's not like documentation where there's, you know, huge descriptive things of, you know, if then statements and et cetera. So, you know, it's very hard to condemn anybody for doing anything, considering there's very few. The point of what we're saying this all for is that so the conversation comes out and there's more people putting their minds together to actually create a plan.
Right.
You know, something that's going to be able to be enacted by you have to have the vast majority of fire departments subscribe to it. You might not have a ton of e-scooters and bikes and all that crap coming through your area, but you can bet your ass you have Teslas coming through your area, right? And now, so how do we handle this? You know, I would love to get not just Tesla, because they're not the only ones out there. That is the biggest and flashiest one is I think the car manufacturers have to get involved and have some national level discussions on, I understand they don't want to even, they want to pretend that their car is never going on fire. That is patently false. Well, everybody's car going on fire.
Well, I mean, they kind of did. They have a manual that suggests what to do. And there's multiple things that you can do, but one of the policies that they state is non-intervention. Don't do anything. Let it burn.
Yeah.
We just don't want to swallow that pill. And I can even see like you're uncomfortable, you know, swallowing that pill.
I'm totally uncomfortable with that. I don't know if I was the fire officer even on that thing and me just saying, and I understand intimately that we have that option in hazmat. I just don't think, you know, the vast majority of fire departments are going to want that PR nightmare of having to explain why on the 6 o'clock news, your department's getting a black eye because you stood there with your hands in your pockets on some kid's, you know, tic-tac Insta-snap thing.
Right.
And you're all over, you know, you went viral because you stood there.
Yeah, I think it's because we're not, I don't even know if it's that we're uncomfortable with the truth, is that the truth just hasn't been solidified yet. Because I don't think there would be a huge black eye if the chief of a department was on the thing being like, no, we actually can't put these out. All we're doing is slowing down the inevitable. And it's better for the environment. It's better for the people. It's better for my members. It's better for the resources at hand. And it's better for the community if we allow this thing to burn. And we render it completely safe.
Well, then it comes down to a unified message nationally where, like, let's say, and I'm not saying this, but like, let's say the IAFC, the International Association of Fire Chiefs, says, you know, this is the messaging we're putting out globally of how we're handling these fires. I'm not saying tactically you do what you, but this is why we're advocating for this,
right?
At this point.
Right.
And if everybody has that playbook, everybody has that little palm card where the newscaster comes up to you and he says, what do you think about this? And you look at your hand and you go, I think it's not that. And you just say the party, the mantra, then I think we probably could do it. If you asked me 20 years ago, if we'd be wearing seatbelts in the rig, I would have laughed you out of the firehouse. So can it happen? It absolutely can happen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think just the proper message would make the pill a lot more palatable to the fire department because the population is educated.
Right.
So that's how I would think it.
So we need leadership to step up. And I guess you're right. The leadership would be something like the IAFC.
Yeah, a big club with a lot of reach.
Right.
All right. Good talk.
Yeah. Let's do this again next week.
All right. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Hazmat Guys. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel. And don't be afraid to use that like or follow button. Or
you can sign up for even more content from us at thehazmatguys.com. Here, you can subscribe so that we can connect you to even more great stuff. Your support is going to help us improve and build this awesome community even more.
Yeah, and if you want to get to the next level, you won't want to miss our premium content. Our specialist level provides you with access to our entire catalog of shows, which is now over 300, an exclusive Facebook group, premium video with no ads, and so much more. Also, check the Hazmat Guys University link on our website.
And don't forget, we are always interested in hearing about incidences or calls that you have experienced. We may bring you on the show to share that story. Reach us at feedback@thehazmatguys.com.
And remember, folks, don't just get on the job, get into the job.